Welcome to Creative Disturbance. This is Femme Genius, and I'm Yuna Lee, and I'm talking with Emma at the University of Texas at Dallas, Richardson, Texas. So Emma, would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Yuna. Good morning. I know Yuna because I work in the Art Sci Lab, which she's also affiliated. We produce Creative Disturbance through the lab, and I'm the lab coordinator. So as you know, I send a lot of emails. But I also work with all of our project teams on kind of our strategic goals for the lab and coordinating events and projects and just keeping everybody on track.
So you are a coordinator in Artsci Lab, and have you ever recorded a podcast, The Creative Disturbance?
I haven't, actually. I've been working with the project for about a year and a half.
But nobody recorded it. Oh, that's sad. You should have done it first. Okay, then you're a STEM student, aren't you?
Yes.
So, would you tell me about your study?
So, I did my undergraduate degree in Pennsylvania at Lehigh University in neurobiology. So, for a lot of students in my major, that was kind of the pre-med path, but I didn't happen to want to go to med school. And then I moved here to Texas about a year and a half ago to do the master's in the School of Brain and Behavioral Sciences. So I'm in the Applied Cognition and Neuroscience Master's Program with a focus in human-computer interaction.
Oh, human-computer interaction.
Yes.
It's interesting. Tell me more.
I think so.
How did human-computer interact?
Yeah, so there are a couple of different ways that we talk about it in the major. So some people go into artificial intelligence research or kind of the deep learning aspect of it that's really big right now. But I'm kind of focused in user experience design. So I've been taking a lot of my elective classes here in ATEC, particularly with Cassini, and sort of the process of designing mostly web-based experiences that people want to use that work well.
That's interesting and nice, and that's what people want to use something, not in the something in the just academic area, but I'd like to talk about the STEM students' future plan today. You said that lots of your friends in undergraduate usually go to the medical area, but you didn't. So is there a particular reason that why you didn't choose the medical track? Because that when people heard that the bio or something,
right,
they just assume it's medical.
Yeah, so my major met all of the prerequisite requirements for the MCAT. So a lot of the kids that I was in classes with in undergrad did were intending to apply to med school. And I never really felt like being a doctor really played to my strengths necessarily. But with that background, I am interested in user experience design in the healthcare industry. So even though I started out in undergrad saying that I wasn't interested in going down that path, I have kind of circled back to it in a different way.
So that's your plan or dream. You know that the people sometimes dream about the future and plan to do, but it's not exactly the same.
Definitely. That's super relevant for me right now. I'm applying to jobs at the moment. Cassini and I reviewed my resume yesterday.
Good luck.
So it needs some work, but we'll get there. I'm specifically looking for jobs to use this kind of human-computer interaction, user experience design experience in the healthcare field. And there are opportunities there. But also, at the moment, applying for my first-time job, I'm willing to work in any industry that will hire me.
I think that that's very important to say, because usually people say STEM, and they have a stereotype imagination. They're working in the lab with a lab coat.
And I have done that in the past. And it was a good experience, but it's not what I want to do for the rest of my life.
So I think that from your story, that there are lots of possibility of the future for the STEM student, not just the lab or the academy or the research.
I think in pretty much any industry, the critical thinking skills of a STEM background can really be an asset.
Oh yeah, definitely. So, and yes, we have to talk about this because if our future is always good, that's good. But sadly, it's not. It's not always in the bright and in the rosy pink. So sometimes difficulty happens, mm-hmm. and then so let's talk about the difficulty and hardship. Have you ever experienced something?
Right after I came here to Texas, actually, it was about a year and a half ago. I was I chose UT Dallas because it's a neuroscience graduate degree that's a terminal master's. Mm-hmm. So when I was initially looking at graduate programs, a lot of them, particularly in the kind of research tracks, are PhD programs, and that's not what I was interested in. But I decided on UTD, and I moved down here a year ago August, and I didn't know anyone in Texas. My closest friend was 7 hours away, and so I was excited about the move, and I was excited about starting school, and the middle of my first semester, I just regretted everything. I was so homesick. I was so, I was just doubting the choice to come here at all. I was doubting, I hadn't kind of like fallen into the human-computer interaction track yet, so I felt like I was taking, the classes I was taking were kind of repeats of things I had done in undergrad. I was taking like cellular neuroscience, which I essentially already had a degree in, but here I was sitting through this class. And so I just felt really frustrated and like I had made the wrong choice and that I was stuck here for another year and a half without any of my friends or family.
I think you're right that the most difficult thing is that about the doubting my own choice. Yes, did I do something wrong or did I make a wrong choice? Yes, that's a really nagging thing to me.
Right, exactly. And if something external had happened, something that was out of my control, I think in some ways that's easier to deal with.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It just now is the situation and I have to move forward. Whereas the doubt, I put myself in this situation. So then I start to doubt other things like how kind of how accurate my self-perception is and how accurate my plans for the future are with what I actually want and things like that. So it just kind of gets in this cycle of
So how did you overcome those doubt and difficult?
I kind of branched out, so I started looking for more things that I would be interested in doing, and I kind of forced myself to go beyond kind of the things that the degree was specifically asking of me that I felt weren't really fulfilling, and so I started looking into other areas of the university, and I started looking at other things that were going on in Dallas, and actually I saw the university published a link to a news story about something that they were doing here in this lab. And I emailed Cassini and I said, I saw you're doing interesting things. I want to be a part of it. And that was the best decision that I've made in the last 2 years. So that balanced everything out for me.
Yeah, so I think that you should tell this to the younger students that if they are still doubting about their choice, what would you say to do?
I would start with take a deep breath. Everyone feels that way. And you're in a much better place than you think you are. And then really kind of sit down and take a look at where that's coming from for you and kind of what the insecurity is. And just notice the things that make you feel better. It's not an overnight fix, but if there's a small thing you did today that makes it bearable, do more of that and you'll get through it.
Oh, thank you. That's a good advice for me too. Yeah, the small thing from the but we can do it. And you mentioned to meet the Cassini, and meaning I'd like to talk about the people because when we have some difficulty or otherwise, but the people around us sometimes greatly help us. So and yeah, sometimes the other way, I know. is there any person or the friend or the mentor that you rely on when you have a problem or you want advice when you want advice?
Cassini and Roger, working with both of them here has been like beyond a blessing. They're both great mentors. Cassini, particularly, having experience in the field that I'm interested in going into, has been such a great resource for kind of helping me hone all of my skills in this job, including like the kind of management type aspects that were kind of new to me, but also just like looking forward, what I'm planning on doing in the future and kind of where I am with that. And I mean, other people in the lab as well. There are, I think, four of us from my degree program. So it's been great getting to know those people who I had classes with a little bit better.
Have you worked in the team play or the teamwork or team research with the other colleagues or the friends?
We are doing some things here in this lab. Yusra and I have been talking with Roger about something similar to a lot of the things that your research focuses on, I think, but kind of intentionally putting together teams that work together in certain ways, and kind of what are the metrics for that, or how do you tell that a team is going to be successful before they kind of get started? Is that's similar to what you do?
Yes, I was wondering, because in my experience, that's if I work in the in some teamwork, if I meet a good team member, and yes, that and everything, even though it's really difficult, that it's good, but if I were not working well with a team member, or the sometimes with the, we are just not suit each other in a way.
Right.
Yes, that's really difficult. So I'm wondering that if you have a similar experience or the, something like that.
Yeah, I think it definitely makes the work a lot more difficult. I'm actually, my last class of my program, actually, that I'm in this semester, that is hitting me, it's all of a sudden going to be over very soon. But it's a project-based class, and it's about tech solutions in healthcare. And for the first couple of project meetings, there was this one other member who I was really butting heads with a lot, because we just were not agreeing about, essentially about what we were being asked to do. We were interpreting the prompt differently, and so we were advocating for totally different projects, and I was really frustrated because I felt like I wasn't able to articulate myself well enough to make him see my side, or to make him understand kind of where my concerns were. So that was really frustrating for me. And I also felt like in that frustration, I kind of was so wrapped up in that I wasn't really necessarily fully listening to him either, or like seeing beyond what he was saying to what his concerns were. So I think I could have handled that differently, but we've kind of smoothed it over a bit and have kind of a compromise moving forward. But
yeah,
it was definitely challenging this week.
But I think that will be a really good experience for you, because we will meet the same situation in the future, definitely.
Yeah, I've definitely learned from it, and I was definitely, it was definitely an experience for me in advocating for my ideas and advocating for, I mean, essentially in this context, because it's a healthcare solution, I was really advocating on behalf of the patients that we were talking about. So I think, and that was kind of a first for me, where I really kind of had to fight for something that I believed in. So I think that was a valuable experience as well.
Yes, that as a STEM student, I think that now that everything is interdisciplinary, so the STEM area people work with people from other areas, and my own experience, I'm from the science background, but I have an experience working with philosophy people. It was really hard because they were speaking different languages, in a way.
Yeah,
they were speaking English, but
but just the terminology, the way you frame a problem, your language really makes a difference. Like with this class in the business school, there's so much jargon that just doesn't mean anything to me, but it's the way that they're kind of framing it, talking about problems, and so it's definitely an adjustment to kind of translate to that dialect.
Yeah. So I think that the STEM students needed such an experience to working with other people. So
right.
Yeah, we can prepare for that. And from my experience, the working with the philosophy people was really difficult, but it's worth, actually. It's really worth it. And I'm glad that I had that experience for that.
Yeah, what was your project topic with them? What philosophy were you debating?
Oh, it's about that I used the philosophy idea and then using into the teaching science.
Okay.
And then it's all long story, but actually that I thought it very simple logic, but it
right.
was not. And that the real problem is we are speaking different languages.
Right.
So there's a serious miscommunication there. So it takes a time to understand each other. And your story just reminds me of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a STEM student and for the planning for the future, if you have to say one thing, really precious thing or the important thing in being a STEM student in your area, what
right.
would be the precious thing or the important thing if you have to say something to younger students who are going to enter your program?
I think the thing that has had kind of the most translatable value for me
mm-hmm.
is this practice that I got into in like undergraduate lab research of kind of like what you were talking about with this communication disconnect, but the more concisely and the more clearly you can articulate
mm-hmm.
your point, the easier it is to get other people on board with your ideas. So I think the skill that's been most important to me in developing through kind of the STEM process and then into this like interdisciplinary
mm-hmm.
chaos that we are in now in the lab has been this practice of figuring out what you want to say and then getting to the point.
I think that's very important and practical advice for that. It's a precious, yeah. So, okay, I think that we talked a lot, so
mm-hmm.
it's time's up. So, thank you, and Emma, for talking with us today. And to learn more about Emma Newkirk and her story, and visit the Creative Disturbance site at creativedisturbance.org.
Thank you.
Thank you.